Echo and Narcissus. Into the painful solitude of Echo's private hell, there crashed one day all the laughter, shouting, and boisterous clamour of a hunt. The youth of Thespiae had chased a boar all the way into the wood, and one of the huntsmen had become separated. He was a youth of such transcendent beauty that Echo, whom the tender passion had passed over all her life, was instantly love-struck. The youth was Narcissus, now older and more dazzling than ever. He had never fallen victim to the tender passion either. He had become so used to girls and boys, men and women, fauns and satyrs, nymphs and dryads, oreads and centaurs, and all manner of beings, sentient and non-sentient, shrieking and sighing and fainting away in his presence, that he thought the whole business of love absurd. It turned sensible people stupid. Narcissus hated being mooned and swooned over. It maddened him to see the unmistakable look of love leaping into the eyes of others. There was something so angry and ugly about that look, something so hungry, lost, and despairing, so brooding, haunted, and unhappy. To Narcissus, love and desire were sicknesses. He had been taught that lesson in the worst way possible a year ago when a boy called Amenias had declared his love to him. Narcissus had replied as kindly as he could that he did not return his love. But Amenias would not take no for an answer and took to haunting Narcissus's every step. He joined him on his morning walk to school, tagging along and gazing at him like a lost and adoring puppy, until Narcissus could stand it no longer and yelled at him to go away and never come near him again. That night, Narcissus had been awoken by a strange sound outside his bedroom. He looked out of his window and saw in the moonlight Amenias hanging from a pear tree, a rope around his neck. He choked out a curse before he died. "May you be as unlucky in love as I have been, beautiful Narcissus." Amenias, according to some sources, became a sweet-smelling herb, possibly dill, perhaps cumin, maybe anise. Since then, Narcissus had got into the habit of keeping his head down, covering his body as much as possible, and being short and gruff to strangers, never meeting them in the eye. But now, as he looked about him, he saw that the rest of the hunting party had gone, and that he was splendidly alone. He decided to take advantage of the cool waters of the stream and its inviting mossy banks. He slipped out of his clothes and plunged into the water. As soon as she caught sight of that lissom and golden form, half sunlit, half dappled by the shade, and all streaming with water, Echo caught her breath. And when, peeping through the leaves, she saw the face, the beautiful, beautiful face of Narcissus, she could no longer control her senses. Were it not for Hera's curse, she would have cried out there and then. Instead, she gazed in silent wonder as the naked youth laid his bow and arrows on the grass and stretched himself out to sleep. When love comes late, it comes like a tornado. Poor Echo's whole being was swept up by her feelings for this impossibly beautiful youth. Nothing, not even the horror of Hera's curse, had ever caused her heart to hammer so violently inside her. The blood pounded and surged in her ears. It was as if she was swirling in the centre of a great cyclone. She simply had to take a closer look at this lovely youth. If she felt such tumultuous passions swirling inside her at the sight of him, then perhaps it was in the nature of things that he would feel the same at the sight of her. Surely that must be so. She crept forward, hardly daring to breathe. With each step, she found herself more and more thrilled, until she was quivering and trembling all over with excitement. The stories of love at first sight that she had heard sung all her life were true, after all. This beautiful boy would be bound to return her love. Cosmos and creation would not make sense otherwise. Of course, you and I know that cosmos and creation make no sense at all and never have. Poor Echo was about to discover the truth of this. Whether it was her pounding heart or the cry of a bird, something made the sleeping Narcissus open his eyes just as Echo drew near. His eyes met hers. Echo was a pretty nymph, lovely, in fact. It was only her eyes that Narcissus saw. That look again, that haggard, hungry, haunted look, those needing, pleading eyes. Ugh! "Who are you?" he said, turning away. "Who are you?" "Never you mind. That's my business. That's my business." "No, it isn't. You woke me. You woke me. I suppose, like all the others, you've fallen in love with me." "Love with me? Love. I'm fed up with love. Up with love. It'll never happen. Never. Go away. Never go away. I don't care how much you wail at me. I hate the sight of you. The sight of you. Stop it, will you? Just don't," cried Narcissus. "Go away! Don't go away! You're driving me crazy! Driving me crazy! Go away before I do something so desperate! So desperate! Don't tempt me now! Tempt me now!" Narcissus picked up his hunting sling and loaded it with a stone. "Go! Just go! I'll hurt you if you don't! Understand? You don't understand!" The first stone missed her, but Echo turned and fled before Narcissus could reload and try again. As she ran, he called out after her, "And never come back! Never come back!" she cried. She ran from him and kept running until she fell weeping to the ground, her heart bursting with grief and shame.